Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This text is one of the several lessons you heard. They all point toward the same thing, but the one I think I appreciated most is about the shepherds. Shepherds were kind of nobodies. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. The shepherds were the people that they barely trusted with their flocks. They put them out there at night doing the things they didn't want to do in the middle of nowhere, and they were responsible for making sure the sheep stayed fed, making sure the sheep stayed cared for, making sure nothing got to sheep, no wolves, no pine, no things that could come and destroy them, or that nobody stole them. But they really weren't well regarded to any extent by the people in Israel. They were kind of looked down upon. They were a necessary evil. You had to have shepherds because you had sheep. You didn't have to like them, didn't have to do with them, and you sure didn't have anything to do with them socially because they were kind of an outcast sort of a thing. They didn't amount to much. Nobody cared about a shepherd. So where does the announcement of the birth of the Christ child come? Of all the people and all the places, it goes to the shepherds. And that doesn't make sense. You know, if you're going to put this thing together and have everybody know about it, the last people in the world, you're going to tell about it to the shepherds because they're nobody. And they're not going to get it out. They probably won't even understand it. But you know, that's what happens. God brings this message to them and says, hey, look. Look and see what's going to happen. There's something happening here that you really need to take notice of. And of course, the shepherd's reaction, like anybody's reaction when God does an announcement to them, it scared them butt good. I mean, they rattled. What is going to happen next? Nobody encounters God and lives, and yet God's telling us that something's going to happen here. You want to pay attention. And they were scared. They were sore afraid, as Luke puts it. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And they were told, go and see. Watch and see what we're doing. You will find a virgin. I don't know how you're going to identify her. Maybe she's like the guys with the football jerseys. They have numbers. Maybe she had a V in the middle of her back or something, so you could, or a V on her helmet, so you could tell who she was. But somehow they were going to be able to identify who this virgin was and go and see this virgin who's just given birth to a child. Now, wait a minute. Virgins don't give birth to children. Well, if she did, how did she do it? I took care of that. It happened to your benefit, not to hers, to ours, and to those who were there. So quit fearing, stow your scared, and go see. See what's going on. See what it is that we're doing and how it's going to work. Because this is just the beginning. This is only the smallest part of what's going to happen. You see this, and you watch what happens to this kid, and see what happens as he grows, and watch what happens once he gets in his 30s and becomes God incarnate. Emmanuel, God with us. This is what got him in trouble with the Jews. He knew he was God. They knew he said he was God. And they said, nobody's God except God. We don't accept any substitutes. We aren't accepting you. And if you don't stop this, you're going to die. Well, he didn't stop it, and he did die. Because he knew what he was going to do. He came born of a virgin. That doesn't happen. But it did. Then he was laid in a manger because there wasn't any place for him. Mom and Dad had to go to a place that really, they were from, but they weren't used to, because the government said, oh, it's time to tax. Now, we really aren't aware of the government taxing, right? We don't know that the government sends tax bills to people, and people get sent things, or people who they don't pay their taxes. So the emperor, Caesar Augustus, decided the only way he can tax these people is to find out who they are. So he said, come on, all of you go where you came from. And that doesn't mean immediately. That means where your family was from. And register so we can count all you, so we can send you a bill. And it didn't matter that she was 9 1/2 months pregnant. And really, it wasn't an easy job to get from here to there, and I don't know how many miles it was. It wasn't a long distance. None of these people lived far away. You know, we're used to having kids that grow up and disappear. I mean, they're gone. They may never come back, but they sure aren't within 3 or 4 miles. In these days, everybody stayed within 4 or 5 miles of wherever home was. It was either walking distance or distance that you could do with a mule or a donkey or a horse or something else, but you could get there. So you knew who you were. They knew who you were. That's where your family was. But it wasn't convenient in the shape she was in to make that journey, but they made it anyway because they were told to. Not because they wanted to, but because they had to. She could have said, hey, you know, I'm not doing this. Do you see how I am? Can you understand how I feel? And you're going to put me on that donkey and drag me all the way over there to a place I don't even know so I can keep this politician happy? You're not going to do that to me. Well, yeah, he did. And she did. And they got there, and everybody else who didn't want to come had already come. And they'd taken up all the spaces. Now, I don't know whether there was a Motel 6 on every corner or whatever else, but apparently there weren't any places for them. So they got there. Where are they going to go? And somebody found this manger, a place where you took care of cattle. And they finally bedded her down there, and she had the baby there. Now, those who have worked in hospitals where everything is clean and spick and span and no dirt, no nothing, never think about what it's like to deliver a baby in a manger. Now that's, even the EMS people, some of us who've been fortunate enough to have to do it in the back of an ambulance wouldn't want to do it in a manger. But that's what it was done. She delivered her firstborn son of all places in a shed and laid him in a manger. Because there wasn't any place for them. So God sends the Holy Spirit to this woman and says, guess what? You're going to have a baby. And she says, how can I? I'm a virgin. He says, we'll take care of that. We got it all figured out. You just go along and do what we tell you to. And she did. And here she is, like 9.5 months. You know what it's like when women are that pregnant? You think they're going to want to go that far? You think they're going to want to have their baby in a shed? Well, she did, and he was born. He was healthy, and the people around him were cattle. Then there's old Joseph. He's the guy that really gets forgiven. He's about in the back. Nobody pays any attention to him. Without Joseph, the thing wouldn't have happened. He could have put her away, divorced her, and they might have stoned her because of what they would say she did. He made sure that didn't happen. But nobody even talks about Joseph. He's the guy that never really appears. But he's the guy that made it possible because he took this child, made him his, and made him part of his family, and taught him what he needed to know to survive. Taught him a trade. Some people still do this. They teach their kids what they need to know from what they're able to do, so they set them up for life. And that's what he did with Jesus. You know, for 30 years, he taught him how to do something with his hands that would be effective for him, that would be good for the family and good for him. It would give him a way to make a living wage. And then the beginning of the end starts. And Jesus encounters John the Baptist, who's a real character. Eats locusts and wild honey. Even the dietitians would think that's okay. Of course, I've never seen a fat dietitian either. They're all skinny as a rail and tell you you can't eat anything. Bottom line is if it's white and it's sweet and you like it, you can't have it. So he's surviving on bugs and wild honey. And he's got an ugly looking camel's hair coat. Not something he got down at Runnings or someplace. It's just something they kind of dug up to cover his body. And he's baptizing people. Strange character. This baptism thing isn't really common with the Jews. They baptized converts. The idea was to wash the filth off them. If you were converting to Jew from being a non-Jew, or goyim, or basically the filthy, that's us, they baptized to wash the filth of whatever it was on you off so that you could be a good Jew. They also baptized their pots and pans and everything else that was laying around. But John comes along and does this baptism, which he combines with the forgiveness of sins and repentance. And says, understand that you're sinful. Ask God for forgiveness. I'll wash you with this water and forgive your sins. And then Jesus comes and he's baptized by John in the River Jordan. For 3 years, he goes and does his stuff. The same baby that was born in the manger is now a 30-some-year-old man who is a prophet in the business of God, who goes and proclaims the news, the kingdom of God is here. It's not far off. It's not 1,000 years ago. It's here now. And the kingdom of God is the good news of God, that God has made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven and give us eternal life. And he sent this man, Jesus, to be the proclaimer of this business. First, he was seen by the angels, and then he was seen by the shepherds, who were nothing. So think about the shepherds once in a while. We tend to think that we're pretty hot. You know, we do well. We're pretty good. You know, if he was going to do it someplace, he'd do it in front of us, but he did it in front of the shepherds. People that really didn't matter to anybody. But they were told, don't fear. Look and see what's happening. Appreciate it for what it is and be part of it. There's something coming that you're going to want to be a part of as time goes on. Blessed Christmas. The beginning, the birth of Christ happened on this fashion. And may that birth of Christ be the present that we need. Doesn't come with wrapping. The other thing it doesn't come with is a bill after the first of the year. All that other stuff, you're going to pay for. Peace, grace, and Merry Christmas.